a very good morning to you all this morning. A warm welcome, especially if it's your first time at St Andrews, or if you're just listening, and of course, if you're watching at home. I'm Marilyn Appleby, in case you don't know me. I'm going to be leading us through our service this morning, and Roger is going to be preaching and leading us in Holy Communion. So I've got one or two notices for you. I just want to make it clear that the PCC decided that as a church we should tread carefully with regard to COVID and precautions. So we're keeping our one-way system, hand sanitising and masks. But the good news is that we are allowed to sing behind our masks.
Yes.
So we're thinking how interesting that's going to be. I've got one or two other notices as well, so bear with me. On Saturday, August the 7th, we're starting at Poppins again, our Saturday morning coffee morning once a month. If anyone is able to make cakes or to help in any way, would you please just let me know? And also, Coffee Shop is running again on Tuesday mornings. Both of those events are 10 to 12, so you're welcome to come along to those. They'll be in the Cornerstone Cafe, and speaking of the Cornerstone Cafe, I just want to highlight the fact that there's going to be three afternoon tea sessions on Tuesdays. All the details are in your notice sheet if you've downloaded it or you've read it, but do let Rachel know if you intend to go. Also in the news sheet, just want to bring your attention to the new wine evenings that we're hosting here. We're going to live stream them, I think upstairs or maybe in the church. So if you'd like to join that, then feel free to do so. One other thing is the donations of food and items for CAP, Easter Team and Open House, where we used to leave them at the vicarage, we're now going to only bring them into the church, either on Sundays or any other day of the week when you're coming into the church. So just a change of venue for those things. But thank you very much for continuing to donate. And then I want to mention also that as from next Sunday, we're going to begin our special summer special services, teeth in, summer special services throughout August, and there'll be the 11 o'clock, there won't be a 9:30 service, but only 11 o'clock service, and the theme throughout August is going to be Birds of the Bible. It's an all-inclusive service, and we'll have craft packs for the children so that they can engage with the same theme that the adults will be joining in with. So I think that's a lot. Let's now turn, if we can. We have no opening prayer on the screen, so if you know it, join in. Otherwise, I'll just read it for us, okay? So let's just pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, freedom from lockdown may not have quite happened as we wanted, but as Christians, we have many other things to celebrate. We celebrate the personal freedom we have that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. We celebrate that we have the freedom to express our faith. We celebrate that we have the freedom to meet in this place to worship. We celebrate the overwhelming number of blessings that God showers upon us. And today, especially, we celebrate that we really can respond to that invitation in verse 1 from Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song, albeit behind our masks. So let's stand to sing.
Raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated.
Defeated.
Take our seats. So we come to a time of confession. I'd like to join in with me. Okay. We want to just consider how we've been during this week. Maybe there's things we've said that we regret. Maybe there's things that we haven't done that we know that we should have done. Maybe we've hurt someone and we need to say sorry. Let's just now say these words together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life. To the glory of your name. Amen. And may the God of love and power forgive us and free us from our sins, heal and strengthen us by his Spirit, and raise us to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. And now Lise is going to come and lead us in our reading.
And the reading today comes from Mark 3, 13 to 19. Jesus appoints the 12. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that they might and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. These are the 12 he appointed: Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter; James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, to them he gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder; Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas the Iscariot, who betrayed him. This is the word of the Lord.
Just a short prayer as we sit. Lord, we pray that you'd open our eyes to see your truth, open our ears to hear your word, and warm our hearts to love you and obey you. Amen. I wonder what you think of job interviews. Many of us are not very good at being interviewed. Some people are not very good at interviewing. Odd questions get asked, like, can you describe yourself in 3 words? No, I can't. Where could you see yourself in 5 years' time? To which you don't answer, as one joker did, I could see myself cleaning mirrors. So let's move on speedily to Mark chapter 3 and verse 13 onwards, which is our passage. Jesus has chosen his 12 disciples, and he's announcing his team selection. And what I want to do is to look at this passage in general, and then look at one of the disciples in particular, and that's James, because today is the 25th of July, which happens to be St. James's Day. So here they are, verses 16 to 19. It tells us who Jesus chose. First, four fishermen. There was Simon, called Peter, who was a bit impetuous, but he was bold and he was inspiring, and his brother Andrew, who was a very approachable sort of person, it seems. Then there were two other brothers, James and John, the sons of Mr. and Mrs. Zebedee, who were a local fishing family. Jesus nicknamed them the Sons of Thunder. I like to think it's because they were fiercely loyal. Then there was Philip, who was a Jew like the rest of them, but he was of Greek heritage as well. He came from the same village as Peter and Andrew. The good thing about Philip is that he wasn't afraid to ask questions. In the Gospels, he asks lots of questions. Then there was Matthew, who was clever and used to collect taxes for the Romans and a supplementary administrative surcharge for himself. He had lots of friends and quite a few enemies. Then there was Simon, called the Zealot. He was on the left politically, in touch with people who were actively working to overthrow the Roman rule in Judea. There was Thomas, who was a twin of skeptical frame of mind, but brave and loyal and wholehearted. There's Bartholomew, who was also called Nathanael, who Jesus said was a very genuine and sincere sort of person, though he strikes us perhaps as a bit serious in the Gospels. Then there's Judas, called Iscariot, who was to turn against Jesus. And then two more disciples we don't know anything about except their names. Thaddeus, who too was called Judas, not Iscariot, obviously, and another apostle called James, the son of Alphaeus, sometimes known as James the Less. Well, we call them Jesus' apostles, as indeed Jesus called them apostles. Why did Jesus choose these people out of all his followers? Well, we simply don't know. We can make guesses, but in the end, we don't know. In fact, we never know why God chooses particular people, either in Bible times or today, for particular jobs. We can find ourselves saying, how strange that God picked this or that person to do this or that task. And I suppose it can be said of all of us. The fact is, these disciples were far from perfect, and there were some moral weaknesses in them. So what was the task that Jesus chose these people for? What great Olympian challenge did he have for them? Twice round the Sea of Galilee or whatever. Here it is in verse 14. He appointed them 12. He appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out. First, that he might be with him. Supposing you grew up and your mother was a national park ranger or something like that. You grew up in the countryside, day after day, hour after hour. You'd spend in the country with her, and you'd learn about red kites and mini beasts and flowers and trees and river life and how the countryside works. You'd learn a huge amount, and you'd learn to love what she loved because you were with her. Well, the disciples were 3 years living, eating, sleeping, being with Jesus, learning from what he did and said. There was a man called Henri Fuseli, who was a Swiss painter born 1741, who became a professor of the Royal Academy. He taught artists like Constable and Landseer and influenced William Blake and so on, apparently. Anyway, when he was a young man, he asked Joshua Reynolds, the painter, for advice about being an artist. And Joshua Reynolds said this to him, go to Rome and eat and drink and sleep and wake on Michelangelo. And he did. Age 27, Fuseli went to Rome and stayed there 8 years. And he could often be found in the Sistine Chapel day after day, looking at that ceiling, that masterpiece of Michelangelo, gazing at it, learning to understand the master and to imitate him. Well, the disciples watched the Lord Jesus close up in action. They learned from him in big and little matters. Interestingly, 3 or 4 years later, after Pentecost, when Peter and John had done a great healing in Jerusalem and it had created quite a disturbance, Peter had done a great explanation of what they'd done in Jesus' name. And the bystanders, it was said of the bystanders this: when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and noted that these men had been with Jesus. They had indeed. They'd left their nets or their tax booth or whatever to be with him. And actually, it's what we do in a mild way, isn't it? On Sundays, we leave other activities to be with the Lord and with his people here or electronically. We feed on him, we drink him in, we breathe him in, we learn from him. And on weekdays, it's the case for many people, isn't it? We have an appointment with him with an open Bible. We leave other activities on one side for a few minutes to meet, to be with him, with the Lord Jesus, listening to what he said and what he says, and learning from what he did and what he does, speaking with him. Being with their master is what disciples of all kinds, of all times, have always done and do. And then he appointed them 12 that he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons, to be sent out. That's what apostle means. Stello is the Greek word for send. An apostle is sent out, someone sent out with the authority of the person doing the sending. So Jesus chooses his 12 foundational apostles to send out. Some other people are called apostles in the New Testament in a secondary sense, but they're sent out by the church, Barnabas and Titus and a few others. Actually, all of Jesus' followers are sent by him into the world. So in that derivative sense, not in the same sense as the 12, they're unique, no one's like them, but in the derivative sense, we're all apostles and we're sent out. I remember at one church we had a mission partner called Liz. She was a physio, I think, from Devon. And she was out in Africa with the Rwanda mission in, I think, Gahini Hospital in Rwanda. And one of her prayer letters, I remember, she described how she was walking through a village that she was unfamiliar with. And when she'd walked through it and she was coming to the end of it, there was a boy just playing, dancing on his own. And as she passed, he stopped and he said to her, rather a strange question, he said, "Are you one of the sent ones?" And she was a bit taken aback by it, but she had the presence of mind to say, "Yes, I am." And as they talked, she was able to speak to him about the Lord Jesus. It's actually a good question to ask ourselves from time to time, isn't it? Lord, what have you put me here for now? So the Lord Jesus is up in the hills of Galilee, laying the foundation of his new movement, the renewal of Israel, the restoration of God's people. Israel of old, as everyone knows, had 12 tribes. They lost 10 of them when the Assyrians invaded 700 years before Christ. And here Jesus appoints 12 new founder members as the foundation of God's people reconstituted. From this group of 12 was to grow today's worldwide church. And it's still growing. In Asia and in the Southern Hemisphere, in the last 50 years, figures have exploded of this growth. I read in a book by Professor Don Carson, whose figures I trust, that in the 10 years after 1990, the number of Christians in Asia grew from 22 million to 300 million. And in various countries, we see extraordinary figures. In Nepal, there were 29 known Christians in 1959. Now there are 500,000. And extraordinary figures from other countries, Romania, great growth in Indonesia, and even Mongolia and Cambodia. The number of churches in Ukraine grew in 10 years from 2,000 to 20,000 churches and house churches. South Korea has now sent out 14,000 missionaries, some of them to Europe. And Latin America sent out a further 8,000 missionaries. And it all started from those 12 appointed by Jesus that day in the highlands of Galilee. So let's look now at the Apostle James, one of these that Jesus chose. He was James the fisherman, James of James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They were mending their nets, you remember, and Jesus came and called them, and they left their nets and everything and followed him. This James is not to be confused, as I say, with the other apostle called James, nor with James, who is a very significant figure, the brother of the Lord Jesus, converted after the resurrection, who became the leader of the Jerusalem church and probably the writer of the letter to James in the New Testament. But this James the fisherman was probably the older of the two brothers. He's always mentioned first in the Gospels. It's always James and John, not John and James. Though he was to be eclipsed in the public eye by his exceptional brother, John, who wrote John's Gospel. James the fisherman doesn't say much in the Gospels. Perhaps someone has suggested he was a still waters run deep kind of Christian rather than a babbling brook kind. Jesus was clearly pleased to have him in his inner group of three. You remember when Jesus was raising that girl from the dead that we've heard about the last two Sundays, he took James and John and Peter with him. The other apostles were left outside. Similarly, it was James and Peter and John that Jesus had with him when he was transfigured on the mountain, and the voice from heaven said, "This is my son whom I love, listen to him." In Gethsemane, it was Jesus chose James and the other two to support him and to be with him and to watch with him. Unfortunately, James fell asleep like the other two. James was with Jesus day in, day out for 3 years. Think of an incident in Jesus' ministry from the Gospels, and James was there. He drank the water turned into wine at Cana of Galilee, and it was very good. At the feeding of the 5,000, he distributed the five loaves and the two fishes, and then collected the leftovers in the 12 baskets with the others. He heard and listened to the Sermon on the Mount and the parables. He heard Peter say to Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he heard Jesus reply, "If anyone would follow me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. James was there at the Last Supper. He was there when Jesus was arrested. He was there on resurrection morning when Mary Magdalene burst into where the disciples were and said, "I've seen the Lord." He was there in the upper room when the risen Christ stood among them. He was there at the Ascension, and on Pentecost Day, he was there speaking in the languages of Pentecost. And when thousands were coming to believe afterwards, James was, he must have been there baptizing and giving them basic teaching to send them on their way. There was one occasion when they were going through a Samaritan village, Jesus and his disciples, who refused hospitality to Jesus and the disciples because they were going to Jerusalem. And James and John said to Jesus, "Shall we call down fire from heaven?" Don't know how they were going to do it, but anyway. It was misguided, of course, and Jesus rebuked them. It was a lesson on patience and toleration for them to learn. On another occasion, James and his brother came to Jesus and said they wanted the places of highest honor in heaven, one on Jesus' right and the other on Jesus' left. Matthew's gospel suggests that it was their mother, rather embarrassingly, who put them up to it. But Jesus is gentle with them. He doesn't shame them or Mrs. Zebedee. He asks them another question: "Can you drink the cup of the suffering that I shall drink?" And they say, Obama-like, "Yes, we can." They were serious disciples. And Jesus responds solemnly, "Yes, you will." But who sits where in heaven is not my department. I have come to serve and to give my life. It was a lesson from the Master on giving their lives, and they learnt it. The last mention of James is in Acts chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is a few years after Pentecost, and it mentions Herod, which is never a good sign. This Herod is the nephew of the Herod who interviewed Jesus with Pilate before the crucifixion. And he's a grandson of Herod the Great, who met the wise men and killed all the under twos in Judea. Anyway, this is Acts 12, 1 and 2. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute the church. He had James put to death with the sword. Poor James. That's all we know of him. Was it a knock at the door? Was he just disappeared? Did they get to bury the body? Fisherman James became the second named martyr of our church after Stephen. Fiercely loyal to his master, faithful to the end. Here's a prayer, the prayer that's said on St. James's Day all around the world, from Australia to Zimbabwe, from Jerusalem to Japan on St. James's Day. Let us pray. Merciful God, whose holy apostle St. James, leaving his father and all that he had, was obedient to the calling of your Son Jesus Christ and followed him even to death, help us, forsaking the false attractions of the world, to be ready at all times to answer your call without delay. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.
Now, people can let you down all the time, but Jesus is ever faithful. He is our rock and he is our anchor that never fails us. So we're going to stand and we're going to sing now, Faithful One. So please let's stand. Please remain standing as we say the words of the Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Would you please take a seat, and Helen's going to lead us in prayer.
Father, as we meet today at the end of what has been a very difficult academic year, we ask that you would bless with your rest all those who have continued to work in schools and universities in any capacity. We pray also for teachers, parents, and others who have homeschooled our children and young people throughout the pandemic, that for them, as well as university students and lecturers, this summer would be one of relaxation, restoration, and safekeeping. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we've viewed with great sadness the dreadful footage of the devastating floods and landslides that have happened in areas of Europe, China, and India over these last few days. Lord, as rescue workers continue to search for the lost, please guide and help them and those who wait for news. And would you comfort those that mourn, bring healing to the injured, and provide for those who have lost their homes and livelihood, and the many thousands who are displaced. We pray too that you would bind up the hearts of families in this country where at least 25 people have accidentally drowned during the very hot weather that we have experienced over the last week or so. This is at the coast or in inland areas such as lakes, rivers, and quarries. Help each of us to give thanks for the daily preservation of our own lives and those of the ones we love. Appreciate our own and others' frailty, and to take care of ourselves and each other as much as we possibly can. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We especially pray for baby Koa and his father, mother, and elder brother as Koa goes into hospital today to undergo surgery on Tuesday. Lord, keep him well during this time, and may the tests that he has to have before Tuesday indicate he is able to undergo this operation. Please bless all of them with your peace, and we pray for your miraculous healing on Koa. We silently pray for those we know in this fellowship and amongst our family and friends who are sick, be it in body, in mind, in emotion, or spiritually. Lord, bring healing to broken bodies, release and peace to broken minds, hope to broken emotions, and a true knowledge of your love to those who are broken in or struggling with their faith, because they need to know Jesus as their Saviour. We praise you because your miracles are new every morning, and you promise to both hear those who call to you and never leave us or forsake us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We thank you today, Father, for the reminder and fact that Jesus called ordinary folk to help him in his ministry, and that because of their faithfulness to leave what they were doing, the Christian gospel spread throughout the world, and we are worshipping you today. May we too listen to your call and know what it is that you wish us to do in our churches, within our homes and families, and amongst our friends and in our neighbourhoods. Help us to be obedient and faithful to that call, and as James did, to continue in our love and service of Jesus, even until the end. And it is in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.
So we're going to come to a time of Holy Communion. Lord is going to lead us through that. But first we're going to sing, "Who is like you, Lord of Heaven?" Please stand to sing.
Who is like you, Lord of Heaven, King of glory, throned in majesty? You are holy, you are holy. Who can fathom all the riches of your mercy, of your faithfulness? You are worthy, you are worthy. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the honors of his name. Thank you.
Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love, you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ, you shared our life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. On the night that he was betrayed, at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of him." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is the bread of life. At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. As we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit, that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. With your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Thank you. So we pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, with some bodies, to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. And so we sing our final song. It's been very good to see everyone, and you on the screen who I can't see. Go and have a wonderful week with the wonderful God. Our final prayer. Go in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honour all people, love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ.